Today on Real Life Radio.
You don't want to be a 20-year-old Christian and have 1 year of experience in 20 years of being a believer. See, what does that mean? Every year you just repeat back. You've been a Christian for 20 years, but you've got 1 year of Christian experience. No way, man. I want to be a Christian of 20 years and have 50 years experience. And the Holy Spirit will do that.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 11, continues a series called The Why Series. The desire to pray, it comes from knowing that God loves us and is always there for us. It's prayer that develops within us the loving character of Jesus Christ and our own capacity to love and care for others. You see, the Bible tells us that it's in Christ that we have our identity. When we came to Christ, we repented of our sins and turned away from the old lifestyle. We then began our new journey of walking in faith and in the light of God's Word. But there comes a time when we need to move forward from the basics of Christianity by moving on towards perfection and into a more intimate experience with God. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that many Christians live in fear of what others might say about them. They are powerless in their walk, bound up with frustration, and living without direction or meaning. But the believer who chooses to walk in the Spirit will move in the power of love, joy, and peace, unaffected by the world around them. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 11, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Have you ever wondered why you seem to lack maybe passion or purpose as a believer? You know the king of the universe, but your life is kind of aimless. How can that be? I'm deliberately prodding you tonight to stir you up to question where you're at, to maybe in a spiritual fashion, throw down the things of frustration and say, that's it. I absolutely surrender. Tonight's my night. Amen. I'm a Christian. I love God, but ain't nothing happened in my life. If God does something, he seems to use somebody else instead of me. Doesn't that terrify you? I'm gonna tell you something. Don't tell anybody. This is one of the things that terrifies me. God wanting to use me, and he can't, and he uses somebody else. I don't mind him using anybody else. That's wonderful. Thank God for it. That's called the church. But I would be sick to my stomach if God said, Jack, I wanted to use you for that, but you weren't listening. Or you were picking your nose or goofing off or something. I don't know what. But you weren't walking with me. Man, that'd break my heart. Wouldn't that be terrible? Passion, purpose. And then this one, this question, fourth and final question on this. Have you ever wondered why you seem to be just powerless in your walk? Somebody will say something, maybe somebody's telling some filthy joke at work, and you know it's wrong, and you know that you should go to them and say, man, that's just not right. But you can't do it because you're terrified, and you're bound by what they might think of you after you do something like that. So here's the answer for us tonight. You want God to move in your life? You want to have power over temptation? You want to have purpose and passion for what God wants to do? Do you want to have that ability to be the salt and the light that as a young man or a young woman, an old man, old woman, whoever you might be on one end of the age spectrum or the other, or no matter what your status in life might be, that God is not swayed by those things at all. That when you say, Lord, that's it. I am going to walk into the promises that you've promised me. The Holy Spirit wants to use my life. And God, I'm just going to now give up and have you live your life through me and grant unto me your power. It's called walking in the Spirit. So listen, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, if some translations say since, which is more accurate, since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Notice capital S, Holy Spirit. So watch this area. Are you with me? You're so quiet. Are you with me? If you were to say right now tonight, Jack, I want to walk in the Spirit. You can't say that unless the Spirit of God is drawing you to himself to begin with. It means that you want to leave the basic things because, oh my goodness, you don't want to be a 20-year-old Christian and have 1 year of experience in 20 years of being a believer. See, what does that mean? Every year you just repeat back. You've been a Christian for 20 years, but you've got 1 year of Christian experience. No way, man. I want to be a Christian of 20 years and have 50 years experience. And the Holy Spirit will do that. And you and I have seen throughout history and even in our day when a man or a woman yields herself to God, and what he does, he picks them up and goes. And I love how God makes up time in someone's life. You see some bozo squandering his life and he's 45 years old, he's a wreck. Meaningless, purposeless, nothingness, gives his heart to Christ. And in 3 years, the guy is, it's like, what happened? That's just God catching up time with that guy's life. Oh my goodness. So this is the thing that we'll see tonight. Mark it down. Number one, very important. Number one, here we go. Living in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the life of the believer, more importantly, moving on with the Holy Spirit, is moving on in the power of love. Mark it down, please. Moving on in the power of love. Now, number one, you might say, Jack, did you count these wrong? No, but it can be debated. On the screen, we're talking about this one being number one. Watch this. Moving on in the power of love. Notice the Bible here says in Galatians that the fruit, singular, right? Fruit, not fruits.
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
Love, not loves. It's not fruits and it's not loves. It's fruit, singular, and love, singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the foundation. You know this is true if you read 1 Corinthians, because it talks there, if you speak with tongues and have not love, you're nothing. If you give everything that you have to the poor, but you don't have love, you've wasted your time, right? Love is the Christian foundation. Okay, so it depends on what scholar from what denomination you're going to read. They will count love as one of the nine that are listed. And I happen to believe that love is not a manifestation of the fruit, but I believe love is the manifestation of the fruit.
Amen.
You say, well, what about joy? You're leaving joy out. I don't think you can experience the joy of the Lord without love, without knowing his love. It's not possible. It's just not gonna happen. So foundationally, you can even draw a little picture. On the bottom, it's love. Boom, big foundation, love. Moving on in the power of love. Can you hear Huey Lewis singing that song? The power of love. The joy sits upon love. When you know the love of God and you know that God loves you, there's going to be joy. From love, this is what you experience, joy. So we're going to call number one, joy. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit, being love, is joy. The word in the Greek is chara, the chara of God. Listen to this. It means joyous delight. It means an abounding effect. It means a joy that is upon the whole man, the whole person, being in a state of rejoicing. Now listen, it's a joy that is unaffected by the world around you. This is uniquely Christian, everybody. Listen up, this is a big deal, especially in our age in which we're in. It's uniquely Christian. I'm not bashing any other religion, but according to the Bible, the Buddhist may have enlightenment, but they don't have joy. Okay, the Mormon at the end of the day, working hard for his religion, might have satisfaction, but he doesn't have joy. Do you know, as a believer, God's love? Then what needs to happen in our lives is we need to enter into the reality, because listen, you and I cannot do Galatians 5:22. You cannot make this happen. This is the work of God in the life of his child, in the lives of his children. When you're loved, and we know this in life to an nth degree, when you're loved and you know it, you're crazy, aren't you? When you're loved and you know it, you're invincible. When you're, listen, if young lady, if you're loved by some young man and some other guy comes around and says, oh, you're as ugly as a mop. You're so Listen, she's like this. So who cares? What gives her that resilience? She knows she's loved. Christian, in this world, the world, we hate you. We're going to arrest you. We're going to kill you. When you hear that stuff, you just go, God loves me. He loves me. You need to know that. If you don't know that, he loves you. And he loves you because he has set his love upon you. It's not because you're cool or you gave money or you do service or you pray longer than anybody else. That's irrelevant. It has no connection. He has set his love upon you, says the scripture. And there's joy. Joy. Joy is having that rejoicing inside that may not manifest outwardly. And you can have joy. Have you ever buried somebody that you love? And you still have joy. Have you ever lost your job because they misunderstood you or they attacked you and you're driving away and you have joy? There's a peace, still, calm joy running deep. Why? Because in the midst of everything, you know, God loves me and his joy is available to me. It's a promise of God. Joy. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. Imagine in heaven, all these things are going to be actually realized constantly. Number two, moving on in the power of love is peace. Peace. Doesn't our world need peace tonight? By the way, I mean this. I'm not making light of this. I'm not joking around. Do you realize the fruit of the Spirit is love? Do you realize right now there's people running around this world, if not this nation, protesting and pillaging and rioting and doing all kinds of stupid things? If they only knew the peace that they could have, if they could only know that God loves them. Now look, let's be honest. The Bible, let's be very honest, because you know, God loves you, and God loves you, and God loves you. It's true, but it does say in the Bible that God is angry with the wicked every day. Let's be honest. So we need to be biblically sound here. If you see somebody wicked, you know, you say, hey, excuse me, but God's angry with you. But God is love. You just need to know that. It's true. Peace. The believer, Paul is speaking to the Galatian believers, they already have salvation. And he's speaking to them about having the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit upon their lives that's manifested in peace. Our nation needs peace tonight. Most wealthy nation on earth, greatest power on earth, you name it on earth, and we ain't got no peace. We're unstable. No matter what your background might be, if you didn't have a mother or father that loved you, you need to hear tonight, God loves you. You say, I never had any joy in my life. Well, it's time for you to have joy. Peace. Irene in Greek, the irene of God, or Irene in some pronunciations, is the calm, undisturbed state of the soul. An unshakable, unmovable soul. And you know what's beautiful about this? It has nothing to do with your personality. Well, he's just a calm person. He must have the fruit of the Spirit. That's not what it means. These are all supernatural things. These are not things like, oh, look how calm he is. No, that's not it. He needs a defibrillator or something's wrong with him. Give him another cup of coffee. This peace is a peace in the midst of war. The world's coming undone and you have peace. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, because give God all the glory. Ever since this COVID craziness happened, I confess, when I was speaking to the black hole here to a camera, I hated it. And I told you that on Sunday or last Wednesday. I'm going to remind myself, I hated it. Yeah, I know. I know God used it for a season, but it's like, this is wrong. But the amazing thing is, as the intensity and pressure wore on in all of our lives, I have had, and I've watched you, you've had a greater peace. You know now that your Christianity won't break under stress. And you can thank God for coming through this. Peace. Number three is moving on in the power of love. Moving on in the power of love, number three is long suffering. Most of us don't even like to say the word. What on earth does that mean, long suffering? It sounds painful. Long suffering. The word means unlimited patience. It means to have the ability to put up with and endure under pressure. It means to be tolerant. Everything's coming against you. Listen, you go home tonight. This is the only sanctuary you have, is here with these people. You go home and your spouse is there waiting to eat you up when you get home because they're not a Christian. They hate you for loving Jesus. You know that? Or you go back to work tomorrow and they're just waiting. So it's Wednesday night, huh? So do you go Wednesday night to church? Ooh, what'd you do? Ooh, ooh. Remember Joseph in Egypt? Potiphar's wife? Constantly hitting on him. He was unique. He's exotic. He's Hebrew. They're Egyptians. He probably had very olive skin. He probably had light green or light blue eyes. When you go to Israel, people are shocked. Who are these people? Jews have light green eyes, olive skin. They could have blonde hair. They could have dark hair. They're beautiful people. And she's looking. The Bible says every day she casts longing eyes at Joseph. Longing. She's always hitting on him every day. And Joseph stood strong with God. He stood strong to his God. He hung on. He wouldn't give in. And look, he could have. He was the second in command. Nobody's around. But his God was there. He had long suffering. People say today, oh man, you know, it just wore me out. You know what? You know why you got worn out? Because you stepped out of walking in the Spirit and in your own strength. That's what happened. I can't take it anymore. Of course you can't. None of us can. That's why we need the power of God's long suffering by the Holy Spirit in our lives at that moment. We can't do Christianity on our own. Every other religion in the world is possible. Christianity is impossible. It takes the indwelling power of God at work in your life, and the whole thing is a miracle. This is not some group or team effort. This is not some five-step program to eternity. We are lost without him. And the Spirit of God is the one who produces the fruit of the Spirit. He does these things. They're so lofty and precious and amazing. Moving on in the power of love is kindness. The word kindness is probably one of the most tender statements. Kindness is the supernatural moving of the Spirit in your life to love on other people with acts of kindness. And listen, it means it's irrelevant of who or what they might be. You know that? You want to talk about racism? You want to kill it? Ask the Holy Spirit's power regarding kindness. Hatred, division. God, I don't get along with my mom or my dad or my son or my daughter or my kids. God, help me. Lord, will you work this power of kindness out of my life? Is there somebody that drives you crazy and they just set you on edge when you see them? You need God's kindness. And he'll give it. That's the amazing thing. He'll give it. Number five, faithfulness. Moving on in the power of love is faithfulness. All of these things are built upon the foundation of love, faithfulness. This Greek word means proof. Isn't that interesting? It means proof, evidence. It means the ability to hang in there. Supernatural ability given by God to stand and keep standing. Faithfulness. Number seven, moving on, the power of love is gentleness, fruit of the Holy Spirit. The divine ability of God to care and to give and to be involved in the comfort of others, gentleness. To be of a gentle response. Number eight, moving on in the power of love is self-control. Wow. Self-control. Did I miss six? Five was goodness. Did I miss goodness?
Yes.
What? You should get up here and do this. So number five was goodness, or I haven't touched goodness? Good. So five should be goodness, and goodness is quality, integrity, ethics. Listen to this. Goodness, the power of love and goodness is having an upright moral character. Is a supernatural, not you, power to become morally pleasing to God for usefulness. So six should be faithfulness. We did that one, right? Seven should be gentleness, that ability to comfort others in their well-being. Number eight, moving on in the power of love is self-control. This is something. Self-control means, listen to this, the word means mastery over yourself. That's one of the key things in military disciplines, is to get that soldier to become a master over himself, to master himself. We're blessed. We have a couple of Navy SEALs that attend here. I've known others over the years, had a chance to speak to many of them in Quantico, Virginia, and then down in San Diego. Every one of them told me the same thing. Because, you know, you think these guys in Delta Force and these special operators, you think that they're like, you know, they can lift up, 500,000 pounds over their head. No, they can't do it. They can't do that. Well, you think, oh, they're all super buffed, you know, like The Rock, right? They're not like that either. They're very common looking most of the time. So how'd you do that? Every single one of them, they said 98% of being Delta or being a SEAL is in your head. It's in your head. So what does that mean? If a human being can say to himself or herself, I'm not going to quit. That's something. This is way beyond that. This implies that you and I don't have the self-control to defeat that sin or a couple of sins or whatever it is that keeps tripping us up. It implies that we go to God and say, I can't control this. Friend, listen, is there a thing in your life where you can't control it? Is it temper? Is it lust? What is it? That's when you come and you say, God, I'm stopping tonight playing the game. I can't break from this. I need you, the reality of your love, to conquer that. That's why the scripture says, against such there is no law. You know what that means? It means that you can post a sign here with neon lights that says something like, don't do that, and it won't give you any victory. But when the Holy Spirit is invited in to conquer your life, and you say, Lord, this area of my life, I cannot, it's killing me, please. He will say to you, give it to me. Just hand it to me.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 11. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 11, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life as we look to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, did you know that when you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app for your smartphone or tablet, you have access to Bible reading plans? When it comes to reading and studying the Bible, it's always best to have a plan. That's the truth. Simply download the Real Life mobile app onto your smartphone or tablet and go to the Bible Plus Plan tab. Once you're there, it's pretty easy to figure out what to do. You can start right at the beginning in Genesis, select a verse, skip ahead, whatever you'd like. You can also read along with the audio version for better understanding. It's all right there at the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app. You can access the app through the App Store or at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.